Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, folks, after so much portal talk, Kevin Grech couldn't take it anymore and has entered the portal. He's got offers this time from your Samanthas, your Mormons, your work bros. We're happy to let him have his space because the only true podcasters are the ones who come from the outside. You're listening to Can't Read, Can't Write. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Can't Read, Can't Write, the podcast that proves Spartans can talk. I'm Mike Jones, apparently not a real podcaster, joined as always by our favorite Portal edition, Alex Plum. Plum, it is so good to see you.
Well, the only true podcaster here today, the only real one anyway, the one who came from the outside and is sticking around.
The long con of your theory
this
about
is it.
True Spartans.
This is it. I planted that seed so long ago that it couldn't ever be brought into question.
It's paid off. This is Alex's podcast, and we're all living in it. We do, of course, want to thank everyone for listening. And if we could ask a small favor, please share the pod with Spartans in your life. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Of course, you can follow us on YouTube at Spartan_pod. Same address for Twitter and Instagram. Plum, what are we doing this very fine episode?
Well, here on Can't Read, Can't Write, we always start off behind the green wall where football always leads. We've got commits in. We've got players transferring out. We'll talk about manners because that's always a fun thing to talk about. We'll talk about basketball. Really excited for AJ. And we got some celebrations to be had for other members of this team who were a little disadvantaged this season. We've got some celebration to do in tennis. And then we will head off Grand River, where we'll just do a little victory lapping before taking your Twitter questions. But this week, we're excited because we have developed what will be renowned as the most competitive and, dare I say, exciting edition of the Twitter question competition. So get ready for what I expect to be a thorough and extended conversation around the principles that underline that.
Paper out.
You're going to need them.
There will be a test.
You're going to need them.
There will not be a reiterating of these rules. There will be no complaining. So get ready. Plum, I think we should just pitch liquors now. But I figured you can highlight your Costco run, and I can do a quick plug of a excellent Mike Jones gift.
Well, let me say this. We had a party, Cinco de Mayo party yesterday, and we brought, and of course the name is escaping me, the Añejo tequila that we've talked about on this podcast at least a couple different times. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not the Comos that I had.
Not the Comos. Last week. No. I brought it up a couple weeks ago. Shit. Well, I'll think of the name later on today and I will share it with folks. But that was a huge hit. And then the Mango Shata, which I talked about last week on the podcast, Jason has been drinking now religiously. I think we have a problem. And he was like, ooh, on the pod tonight, tell your friends. I really liked that one. That should go over well. So
we had someone reach out because apparently a listener of, which is just like, it's why, because we have the folks who participate in the Twitter questions, right? We have our community.
Right.
But like, it's weird to find out there are, like, I see that, but there's a lot of people who listen to the podcast who don't participate. And then to just know that someone at work was casually listening to Can't Read, Can't Write and apparently works for, I think it's Sazerac, who makes Mango Shada.
No way.
Yeah, the same company who gives you Pappy Von Winkle whiskey,
yep,
also brings you Mango Shada.
Listen, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to plug this week the Sun Beach Bonfire Cinnamon. I've had it before.
Ah, yes.
It is a delightfully beautiful bottle, and you know, we'll say I'm a big fan of the Fireball.
Mm-hmm.
Never going to turn down the Fireball, but this is a prettier bottle, a delightful cinnamon whiskey, and a little less syrupy, so it goes down
smooth. Easy. Look at him. There goes a pull. I'm not drinking tonight. I'm having a Cove soda. Costco special here, probiotic soda. We'll tell you how it is.
By the nice. And the if it's successful.
Yeah, if it's successful in the morning.
All right. Let's head behind the green wall. We have three transfers out, question mark, to talk about. Let's start with not really a transfer out, but a commit from the transfer portal who's no longer committed. Brandon Lane, defensive tackle from James Madison University, who we were excited about, is showing up late round, but on mock drafts, I think had 44 tackles last year, which defensive tackles folks don't tend to rack up a ton of stats because they normally just eat blocks. Apparently it was a mutual parting of ways. I don't think it was for transfer credit reasons. It just wasn't a fit that the staff was interested in pursuing any longer. And so I think this is truly one of those situations where you can wish the kid well.
Yeah.
And also be maybe contented and happy that maybe you wish the graphic didn't go out first, but the staff, for whatever reason, is continuing to do due diligence on players, and for whatever reason, this just wasn't the right fit for Michigan State.
Well, and I think that's fine. I mean, I think this is the nature of the game at this point with the portal specifically. You know, you're going to have guys that come in, you're going to have guys that go. It just is what it is. We've talked about this, you know, that's the gag. You're not a Spartan until you've already graduated from the university. So good for him. Yeah, you're probably right on that comment around the graphic, but I think maybe on one hand, they're probably a little old school, still thinking if we put the graphic up, if we highlight they've made this commitment, maybe they're more prone to stay. I think this is the truth to that lie. You just, you don't know what you've got until the season has begun, and that's just how it is.
Yeah.
So, Kari Crump.
Next up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kari Crump. Who
transferred into this program from Arizona, as I recall.
Did the thing in the tunnel that...
did not go well?
For anybody, really.
Well.
Has moved on.
Uh-huh.
I think for a number of reasons, this is, you know, it doesn't appear that he was anywhere close to getting, you know, into the rotation. But no, beyond that...
He played three games last season. Like, I don't.
And yeah, in a depleted secondary. Like, again, I think this is a situation, you know, when guys aren't playing, not even in the two deep. And particularly considering what happened with him here, probably, you know, needed a fresh start on a fresh start. And
yeah, you can't. I mean, what are you going to say? I don't know. I'm of the opinion that that many transfers just makes you look inept and incompetent. Like what you're searching for is deep within you and you won't find it at a new school. But, you know, I think you're right. He has had some unique external challenges. If you can find a better, better fit for this last year or so, you know, more power to him.
This one, though, is strange.
Yes.
The last one to chat about is Gino Vandermark, who I believe played six games last year, dealt with an injury, by all accounts projected to be a starter. I believe entered the portal earlier in the winter and came back.
December. It was in there for just under a month.
Yep. Yeah. Was someone that the staff put out for interviews during spring ball, which... tells you that they thought they had someone who was a quality representative of the program. And this is where we start getting into the I don't wish you well territory. So, you know, look, on the one hand, Michigan State hasn't seen competent offensive line play in quite some time. So, you know,
can I just say, let
new people come forward?
I don't, this surprises me. His roster page on Michigan MSUSpartans.com is a 404 arrow right now. That is telling.
Is Kari Crump's up there?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. Let's check that because, yeah, it is.
By the way,
I just read from it. Yes, it is. Kari Crump's is up and as 2024 spring football roster. So
the admin with some spite.
Like, yeah, Kari, you're probably not going anywhere, so we'll leave this up. But like, Gino's like, you fuck me once, shame on me. You fuck me twice, or you know, shame on you. Fuck me twice, shame on me. I don't know. That's a little surprising, and I don't know what that means. I don't know if there's more to the story here. If he is being removed from the program, strongly encouraged to leave for our O line, this cannot be a good thing. But I have to think there's something else here because there's something that's not adding up. I mean, some of his most recent tweets are UWM, you know.
Yeah. 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 The
money
the,
bait. So
the what was that conversation we got in with Joe Ashworth around how they these guys need the their Twitter profiles to bolster the UWM was
right.
The either way, it you know, you can certainly we've got Luke Newman coming in from Holy Cross who, you know, was finishing out his academic career at Holy Cross before coming here as a grad transfer, presumably is going to see some reps. Gino Vandermark from a talent perspective, you know, unless you know, there's no reason to believe we were going to go out and get a better offensive guard than Gino Vandermark. So he is not a loss you would like to see.
Yeah.
And it is one that stings.
We didn't talk about Ethan Boyd also.
We did. Did we last not week? Talk about him last week either?
I don't remember. I think this one just came up with the same right around the same time Vandermark did.
You're right. Yeah, Ethan Boyd, offensive tackle, who had not participated in spring.
Right.
Has gone to the transfer portal and committed to Colorado.
Oh, has he already?
Yeah, to go play for Dion.
Coach Prime.
So
who knows?
I don't think Eden's going to find a better experience there. But
more power to him, I guess.
Yeah. Let's talk about in though.
Yeah.
We picked up two today. Raquan Buckley, defensive tackle from Nebraska, who presumably is backfilling that that need from Simeon Barrow and Derek Harmon leaving. Tyler Gillison, edge rusher from Cincinnati. Raquan Buckley, I think, has 2 years of eligibility remaining. Tyler Gillison, I believe, has 3 years of eligibility remaining.
Raquan may have three. He was a redshirt freshman last year.
Oh, okay, nice. So that tells me, though, that we are, and I think this kind of aligns with how you would think about these things, right? Like Simeon Barrow, Derek Harmon leaving. Not great from a being competitive this year perspective, but we had some question marks about how competitive we were going to be. Mel Tucker did not recruit any defensive tackles.
Correct.
Whatsoever. So what you've done now is you've picked up a defensive tackle who is maybe depth for this year, but is part of building the gaps that you had in recruiting from previous years.
Well, and if Brandon Lane had stayed, you'd have two. So
yeah.
When you think about it from the framing perspective, you got to give the coaching staff real credit here at going out and trying to backfill these holes. You can't expect your Simeon Barrows that they're going to go. Right. So I think not having fortuited that was one I would need to fill. I think that's to your point, and not on them.
And I think it's good that you're picking someone up who is younger. And if you weren't going to win a bunch this year, get a cheaper piece that you can develop.
Yep.
And grow with you and your program. Interesting pickup out of the portal, AJ Dennis, Illinois. Offensive tackle from Illinois, who spent this spring there as a early enrollee freshman. Previously committed to Michigan State, left after the Mel Tucker debacle. Had really he was one of those players in every class usually has one, a commit who's all in on the program, is actively recruiting additional people to be part of the class, and he was that guy. It was surprising, honestly, to see him leave the class, but everyone was leaving. And, you know, cited wanting to be closer to home as his reason for leaving Illinois.
Yes. Well, this is a, so he's from Mount Pleasant originally. Raquan Buckley is from Wyoming outside of Grand Rapids. So in that respect, I think there is some wisdom, you know, find the guys who are in position groups that you are low on. Where is their hometown? Are they playing for your Nebraskas and your Illinoises? This is an easy, easy fucking steal. Get some guys with some reps, bring them home, put them in the green and white. Let's, you know, let's start cooking. Let's start developing and cooking. And when you've got guys that got this many years of eligibility left, this is a, and this is a strong pickup.
Dennis finished as a top 180 recruit out of high school. Like, he was Illinois' highest ranked recruit coming into their class. This is, I don't love that a kid enrolled early and left after 15 practices. I'll just say objectively from the sport and the way Tom Izzo talks about dealing with adversity and growing up.
100%.
Like, I don't like this. That said, I will take a top 180 recruit.
Yep.
Who hasn't played a single snap of college football.
Yep.
In a position that usually takes time to develop anyway.
100%.
So
let's develop them.
Good for my team.
That's right.
Last one is Ed Woods, defensive back from Arizona State University that Michigan State won over his services from Alabama as the other team that was recruiting him. You love to see
You love to see it.
Not Nick Saban's Alabama, but
sure. But Alabama's Alabama. It's a storied program. It's got a good reputation, and
we need defensive backs
badly,
big time,
badly.
So I don't know.
5'11", 180 pounds.
That's
that's about
right. I mean,
yeah, it seems a little light, doesn't it?
You might want him to be 6 foot, 6'1", maybe, but
Well, we'll either way, Bama was hot on him, so they knew more than I do. Yeah,
I'll take it. All right, let's. I want to chat about manners for a second.
Okay, Miss Manners, here she is.
Because I've been thinking a lot about this time that we're living in with the transfer portal.
Okay,
and this for everybody that commits to a different program. Or leaves the program, this this tweeting that I'm seeing. Good luck to him. I wish him well. I don't believe you when you say those things.
Sure.
You being any one of you,
you
listeners,
the royal
have
you.
Tweeted that literal thing. Because I don't wish a great number of these players well. To be very clear, I hope that Simeon Barrow and Derek Harmon have terrible seasons. I hope it is objectively bad for them. And this idea that we need to like be nice about it, I don't like saying you wish these players well, I think is more performative than saying thoughts and prayers about a school shooting.
Sure.
I think you mean thoughts and prayers more than you mean I wish you well.
Because at least there's a part of your heart that has died with the reality that, and out of your your own futility, you recognize what is there else to do but think.
Derek Harmon
religiously pray
going to another Big Ten school that we're going to face this year. How can you objectively tell me you wish he has a good season?
Yeah, you can't.
I would challenge your credentials as a Spartan if you say you wish him well.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think if you are as evolved as you are performing, you are. Just shut the fuck up about it. Just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. Like, no one's asking anyone on Twitter to go out and say horrible things. Stay out of their DMs. We don't need adding them with, you know, I hope you sprain your ankle or, you know, I hope you, someone throws a stick in the spokes of your bicycle while you're going down a highway. I mean, we don't. No one needs that. No one's saying do that. But just don't you have to say anything, you know?
Well, I'm saying now, I hope they play poorly.
Like, sure, and that's fine. It's fine for you to say it on a podcast hosted by a listener guest. It's fine for others to think it. It's fine to tweet with your buddies in your high school group chat. Like, these are the things that those platforms are for. Not saying anything publicly is the response. And I'll tell you another reason why. Part of the reason why guys get up there and make these stupid, like, respect my decision things, which I just can't with the performativity of all of it, but that is it too.
Hashtag AGTG.
They're just expecting engagement. And some of them probably have some feeling of remorse. I mean, what was it, on Tuesday or Thursday, someone had gotten up on Twitter, former Spartan, I can't remember who now, and was like, y'all, making these decisions, this is not in your long-term interest, bopping in the portal every time.
Yeah, a number of Spartans got into this, yeah.
The grass is always greener, and I think this is beginning to show the generational divide. Now everything is immediate gratification, and that's part of what Twitter is immediate gratification. Don't give them the gratification. Just don't say anything. Don't say anything mean, but don't say anything. You don't have to say anything nice, because it doesn't. They're not a Spartan. They're not your team. They may have contributed something. The expectation is that in through thick and thin, and every single person who survived the John L. Smith era deserves and has credibility in saying it, truly, to test the mettle of a player is through thick and through thin. If you couldn't cut it at Michigan State with this Jonathan Smith, do you think you're going to go, you're going to be NFL draft stock because you went to go play at, I don't know,
Oregon, Miami,
Bluffton? Like, what are you talking about? Like, get out of here.
And you talk about you're not a Spartan also. The Mangum brothers apparently considering the University of Michigan.
And that is?
If you take a visit there, you are not a Spartan.
No.
You don't get to say SD4L.
And that's the question. Because that has to be the rubric. If they took a visit and stayed, I would expect, maybe not hazing, but whatever the legal version of that is. If they go, though, would you, and this is for the listeners, whoever's out there performing this, would you wish them well? Again, you can have that in your heart. You can have, like, I'm an evolved human being. This is just a fun thing I like on Saturday afternoons in the fall.
You're not listening to this podcast if that's you.
You're definitely not listening to this podcast, but maybe this is for you, dear listener, who has a brother or a cousin or someone who you talk to about this, and they're just like, why do you care so much? They're just young men, and it's cool, and it is whatever, and it's the future. Great. But would you say, even to that lightly engaged person, would you say, but they're going to Michigan? Does that qualify them? Because if you wouldn't say it to that guy, you don't need to say it to anybody. And it doesn't have to be your mortal enemy for it to be proof that they're just not Spartans anymore. Okay, that's great. Goodbye. Just goodbye.
Yeah, and I think there's something about the core ideas that I think we associate with being a Spartan.
Yeah.
You know, the being at egalitarian school, the idea that, you know, hard work matters, you know, persevering through adversity, and being able to maybe overcome things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's a lot of this notion that hard work can get you things, mm-hmm. that's associated mm-hmm. with being a Spartan. There's less privilege, it's earned. And for some folks who aren't willing to stick it out, that is antithetical to what it means to be a Spartan. So anyway, I saw a lot of wishing him wells, and I'm like, why? Truly,
yep.
Why?
Yep. All right. Well, let's talk about someone else we don't wish well.
This may be the asterisk, because honestly, please get out the door.
Well, that's true. If you want them to leave, maybe that is it. Maybe you wish them well on their way out because they're doing you a favor.
Yes.
AJ Hogard, to the uninitiated, as we transition into basketball here, has announced his decision to leave the portal. his announcement coming sometime after Tom Izzo on a radio program was asked about AJ's involvement in the team. And Tom said, oh, I think he's got another year or so left at basketball in him. Not here, though. So that's exciting. Yeah. So AJ's got apparently he's whittled down his offer. Now, I don't actually know if these are offers. I like to think they're not. I like to think that AJ just was like, oh, I'm whittled down my choices to these five schools who I'm hoping will now contact me. You got your Floridas, you got your Georgias, you got your Vandies, you got your U.S., Californias, and you got your Washingtons.
So, I like that you're channeling your inner Greg for this, by
I
the
am,
way.
I am, because we miss him. We don't miss, no one misses
Iski
him.
Iski is twitching right now every
yes,
time you do it.
Yes, not too. Happy. Particularly about your U.S. Californias. So, I don't know. Theoretically, that's not a terrible list. I'm a little surprised. USC was a little surprising to me.
Yeah. I don't love two Big Ten opponents.
I know. Yeah.
I
do. Actually, I do. I do. And let me tell you why I do. Nothing would please me more than watching him brick short twos consistently in any game we played against USC or Washington, which I think we're going to see each of them once this season.
Do you think it would also feel particularly good to see Jeremy Fierce lock him down?
On every level.
Would that be cathartic in a way?
Yes, completely.
And I think we have USC-UCLA. Everyone either got the pairing of USC-UCLA or the pairing of Washington.
Oh, okay. So that was it.
I guess I'm with you. I don't love it from the perspective that I feel like you got your 4 years here and it feels like maybe it's just time to leave the orbit.
Yeah,
but it would be pretty cathartic to see him just shut down.
What are you going to say?
All right. Let's also take a moment on that note to celebrate Jeremy Fierce. And
yes.
We don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but it is worth mentioning. He tweeted out a video of him dunking again, and it felt great to watch.
As one who both cannot dunk and also has never been shot, I can't tell, hasn't yet been shot, can't tell you how difficult that probably is. I know how difficult it is to dunk, being unable to do so. One can only expect that having learned how and mastered such a technique, that to then also be able to survive a shooting, go through the physical therapy required, and then to start to regain that latent capacity has got to be one just incredibly gratifying on an individual achievement perspective.
Yeah.
But I also wonder how much more inspiring for his teammates. And then, you know, by extension for all of us who support him as an individual and this team. So yeah, I'm glad you cited this. Cause this is one, obviously we couldn't be any more happy than we are for Jeremy Fierce.
Yeah. Happy for him and happy for, obviously he looks dialed in and locked in for the next season. And
yep.
Excited for this era to take place.
There's one more thing I think we need to celebrate too, and we didn't actually get it on the outline. I'm not sure why. I think you know why too. Why it's not on the outline. When the schedule came out for basketball.
Okay. I thought for sure I was now, getting like nailed for not putting some women's sport on there
This is worse. Why don't you tell everybody, Mike? What do you tell everybody what the schedule said? There was a wonderful graphic that the athletic department tweeted out showing a series of teams we would play at home, a series of teams we would play on the road, known as away, mm-hmm. and then a few teams, three or four teams, as I recall, who we would see both what?
Home and away.
Home and away. So,
because it's from the perspective of Michigan State.
Yes, home and away. We on this podcast will only always and evermore speak from the perspective of the only
Michigan
colors,
State.
Green and white. And that is why we say home and away. So, very good. I'm glad we put that to bed. That's settled and agreed upon and
This was the best argument you've made in favor of the phrasing, and
because and I had like a, because I had a third party, because I had a third party who I did not pay a substantial amount of money to do this.
All right. Tennis. Recent recipients of the Widow Sekia $10 million gift. The men's and tennis team has just won their very first NCAA tournament game or meet match, whatever.
Don't let anyone ever tell you that money can't buy wins. In fact, it can and it has.
And they then promptly lost their next one 4-0 to Harvard. But two of the players, I believe, are moving on to individual things. But either way, truly a historic achievement for second year coach for MSU tennis. And you know, I don't mean there's a lot of hires that Haller has made that he's getting a pretty good track record on. So,
yep,
great win, good stuff for MSU. Love seeing it.
Love to see it.
Want to see more of it.
Hear, hear.
All right, let's before we head off Grand River, we want to again encourage you to visit us, visit our friends at Mama's Mercantile and Eatery in the
Grass Lake area.
Thank you. Clear Lake Road
off 94.
By all accounts, the Cinco de Mayo and Kentucky Derby celebrations were fantastico.
So I was at my aunt and uncle's 60th birthday party. And my cousin and I were just watching, you know, the horses start to line up. And as you do with the Kentucky Derby, it's never about the odds. You put money on the name. It's always the name of the horse. I didn't think you could even place. My understanding was that you couldn't make bets online for the Derby from Michigan, or that's what someone said. And then other people said you could. I don't know. I got some bad information, so we didn't put any money down. But if we had, we would have put it on Mystic Dan, because that was the coolest name. Everyone in that bar agreed. And to see this again, I think 18-1 odds come and maintain that photo finish was quite exciting.
I didn't even know who won.
Mystic Dan.
Mystic Dan.
My neighbor, Dan, put a lot of money on Mystic Dan, and he is a very mystically happy Dan right now. So anyway, Mystic Dan for the win. And you could have been, that. If you were Dan, you would have been happy with your Mystic win at Mama's Mystic Mercantile and Eatery. So,
yep. So folks, please go check it out off of Clear Lake Road on I-94. If you mention Can't Read, Can't Write, you get 10% off of your bill. Truly great food, great cocktails. Cannot recommend it enough. All right, Plum. We got to.
Let me ask you this question. I want to know what the successful marriage completion rates are for all couples who are engaged as of their first date.
Wait, now, is that true?
That is true. He proposed on their first date. Did you forget this factoid? This was like the first thing we learned about the man.
That's psychotic behavior.
Hello? I don't know how. I mean, this was a well-known. Okay.
We should have red flagged this a while ago.
Yes. Now, there's some selection bias here because of arranged marriages. So we have to take arranged marriages out of the picture entirely. I imagine
there's
their first
dates. There's a fair amount of vetting that goes into that.
And there's a lot of intercultural reasons why one would expect, and they don't always, but that they last longer because, you know, it's a partnership. You know what you're getting from the start. So, but Mel Tucker absolutely proposed to his, his soon-to-be ex-wife. Now, I don't know. I'm not personally. This is a good example, Michael, of what we were just talking about, which is we don't have to wish Mel and his wife well.
No.
We certainly don't have to wish them poor. We don't have to say anything. But, while we're on the podcast specifically, I just want to say, good for this woman. Mrs. Tucker, or whatever your name is soon to become.
Sure.
You didn't deserve this.
No.
No one deserved this. What you've had to go through is humiliating. It is unfair. It is inhumane. to have to do it also through the lens of the fact that it's involved sexual behavior that was not consensual. I mean, there's just so many other elements to this. Saying sorry feels empty because I know we're not complicit in any of this or culpable to any degree, but it is a regrettable situation. And I hope she takes so much of that bag. Can we just say this? What a shitty human being, though, in the article when they talked about that he had, shitty human being Mel, not her, that he had been putting a lot of that money in a different account so that she couldn't touch it and using their shared account, I believe is what the reporting was, if I'm not mistaken, on his $95 million attorney fees or however many millions of dollars he spent on attorney fees, which is just astounding.
Yeah, I don't know what he thought was going to happen either. Like, did he think, you know, a court will grab that and take it from him? You can't hide this nonsense. Particularly, by the way, Mel, your contract is a public record
document.
Like, he's, I don't know if he's more stupid or embarrassing, but it's something. All right, Plum, is it time to get to these Twitter questions?
Before we do, I want to say to folks, we get a lot of Twitter questions. And that's good. Engaging on Twitter is a good thing. No, it's not. It's a terrible place. It's full of bots and other miscellany, full of assholes who go in and at people and tell them things that are just horrible. And then you've got a bunch of performers, some of you, I'm sure, naughty, going in and wishing former Spartans well on the rest of their career. So if you have the good sense to get off Twitter, we're still here. Mm-hmm. You can email us your questions. You don't have to call them Twitter questions. You can just call them Plum rants about whatever he's angry about today's questions. And they can be about whatever you want them to be. This is the great thing as regards the Twitter question segment. But if you're going to do that, you need to send us an email. So we encourage you to do that by emailing us. As I look over here to make sure I use the right email address. At can'treadcan'twrite1855@gmail.com. That is can'treadcan'twrite1855@gmail.com. Send us your questions there, and we'll be happy to work them into the show.
You can also leave them as a comment on the YouTube episode, and we will include them on the next episode.
Because we have the sophistication to look back in time 1 week and to pull your questions forward into the future where they belong.
Yes. All right. Let's do these Twitter questions. First up, Plum. G Money asks, well,
are you sure you want to jump into them right away?
Yeah.
Or should people know what they're going to get into and how they're going to be adjudicated?
Well, it's not started yet.
It's true.
So this is just, we didn't give an announcement. I think this is the kicking off of you know.
Okay.
We should find out if Greg's coming back from the portal, of course. But
to announce a date. I think it's safe to say, though, that this summer's Twitter question competition is going to be unlike any other.
Oh, I the spreadsheets we have for the scoring of this year's competition is elaborate, to say the least.
So the first thing we'll tell you, the first wild card is, every week, a different foreign language will be randomly selected. We won't tell you.
Yeah.
But if you choose the correct foreign language and it is in that language which you leave your questions for us, you get 10 what we call mystery bonus points. Because we won't tell you that you were right until the end of the season when we mysteriously sprinkle the points around. So we thought that added some real fun for us as we're scoring. You won't know.
We, of course, celebrate poetry on the pod. Truly a lost medium that is not nearly revered. To that end, we've opted for, I think, what we all agree is the Immortal Bard's preferred poem, not the sonnet, nay, no. The acrostic.
Correct.
If you submit your two questions in acrostic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In a way that provides us a quality question.
And is pleasing to the eye. Because this is the real virtue of the acrostic.
And creates a haiku within the acrostic.
Right.
You That's will right. get what's that. Known as the megabucks multiplier.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't want to give too much away, but worth hundreds of NF tucks.
Yes.
And NF tucks are equal to 5 points.
Now, the great thing with NF Tux is you will be advised that you've won them. We didn't want you to have to carry the NF Tux the whole season because they are so quickly devaluing. As this competition goes along, we do reserve the right to devalue or revalue them based on whatever's happening. It could go up if he treats his ex-wife well in the divorce. It could plummet if he doesn't. So you'll know what your NF Tux standing is, and then you'll be able to use that multiplier factor in a sort of conversion process. Now, conversions take place in what we're calling our point portal. So you have to first notify us in writing.
No, it's the player point portal, Alex.
The player point
portal. The PPP.
Portal. Yeah, it's the PPP. Yeah, so and you can, well, we'll talk about the PPP.
No, it's the PPP. I'm sorry.
The PPP loan process later. But for now, you'll notify us in writing of your intent to take your NFT tux into the portal for a one-time conversion. We will tell you the conversion factor, but only after you've locked yourself into the portal. So you'll have to take what you get at that point. But that does that will convert into usable points.
But if you do go into the portal, another player can submit a different question and then take your place as an ability to be a member of the competition. So while the upside is huge,
yes,
there is risk that you can be replaced by another player. Now, Alex, we've run into this problem historically where sometimes people bizarrely decide to participate in the competition,
right,
and then take weeks off. We call them the listener guest questioners.
Correct.
And
they flatline
normally
us.
What happens is that if, say, we have 15 people who ask a question in a week,
right,
and you asked a question in week one but didn't ask in week two, then you're just going to get a 16 for that week. What have we done for these people?
So the challenge that we're weighing ourselves against is there could be a legitimate 16 somewhere. It's unfair to take a legitimate 16 away from a poor performer and give it to you simply because you flatlined on us.
Mm-hmm.
So what will happen is you will receive no score and no points for the weeks that you are gone. What will be required of you is that you will have to take a video of yourself asking us the Twitter question. You will have to post that online.
Yes.
With an apology for really, and it's not to us. We could care less. There's a lot of people engaging with us, but it's to apologize to your fellow competitors. While in many respects you are competitors fighting for your own right, you're also a team of sorts. A team can't read, can't write, really representing the very best of Twitter engagement and MSU sports fandom. So we expect your apologies to be heartfelt and for extra points in iambic pentameter. These are a few of the things that we are cooking up. It will take several more weeks for us to go through all of the rules. Obviously, we expect that you have documented these because we won't have time in subsequent episodes to remind you of them, nor will we when the game gets going, when the competition starts. Just know that we're paying attention.
And just to be clear, if you do not in some way promote the show at all times during the course of Twitter competition,
That's right.
You might get a demerit, and we don't want to cover what a demerit is right now because
it is complicated. Yep.
So for now, G Money, let's talk about your question. And maybe you are going to bring the heat enough to participate this year on a date that we will disclose
Soon.
Approximately 48 hours before the competition begins. All right, so first up, G Money. Plum, what in your opinion is more important out of the portal? A starting five or a starting defensive lineman?
It's a starting five. It's got to be a starting five. Only one of these programs has the potential for real greatness right now.
Yes.
The other one is expected to have some real development. I'll also tell you the other reason why a starting five is necessary is because it would prove to us that the coach of said program fully understands what it takes to coach basketball in the current day that we are, in which we are living. And the coach of the football program has demonstrated this amply over and again. So, yeah, that's my response. Michael, the MLB is all right, but how do you guys fill your summer sports needs with no college sports really going on?
Well, before we announce a Twitter question competition winner, G Money, we have them all line up to recreate the Kentucky Derby. The one who most authentically performs the performance of the horse. It's not winning the race. It is running the race as the horse did.
Yes.
Whoever does that, that is ultimately someone who is able to dole out several demerits, which, again, we're not covering now.
Right.
But powerful, to the co-competitors.
It's a powerful win. It's a powerful
win.
It
is.
And I'll say, Mystic Dan Hellpepper, you, sir, you've got a real shot at this. You've got a real shot at this.
But honestly, in years, I don't think we've had a terribly sleepy summer yet.
No.
Yeah, we got stuff I have going on. A suspicion that this weirdly might be a sleepy summer.
Sleepy.
But I don't know. The folks who participate in our Twitter question competition keep this lively.
Yeah, that's what'll wake you up.
Yeah. Next up, MZA, Plum, is Izzo still capable of winning a national title?
If Izzo can't coach to the game of 2024, which is to say if he can't recruit from the portal, he is incapable of winning a national title. His coaching prowess is just simply not enough any longer to... You can't coach guys that just don't have talent. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but we just see too many of them on this program. And the guys who have real capacity and talent are just not being rounded out with a squad that knows how to support them. That is ultimately a coaching failure, program management failure. So next up, Beth, hey Beth, by tomorrow. Jonesy, if you could replace one game on the 2024 football schedule with another opponent, which game and which new opponent would you choose?
I guess I'm going to take Ohio State and replace it with, do we have Rutger?
I don't know if we have Rutger. I don't even see him look at our football schedule.
Yeah, I should have had the season.
This is good podcasting. MSU football schedule.
We do have Rutger this year.
We have the Rutger.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and replace Ohio State with
Wisconsin. We don't have Wisconsin.
Minnesota. Minnesota. Because you know what? They got us the last 2 years, and that felt unwarranted.
Unwarranted is right.
Good. And so I'm going to take I'm not ashamed to say I'll take a W because I would like to go to a bowl game.
Yes, I'd like to see Jonathan Smith coach us to a W in a bowl game. I think that's completely fair.
All these jabroni teams out west have been playing the Big Ten West schedule this entire time. Why can't we ask for a little bit of a walk in the park?
Completely fair.
Next up from Beth O'Maro, is it possible we've hit peak chaos with the NIL portal new reality? Hmm. And next year, things will start to settle down. My guess is there will be more losers than winners this year.
Well, to that last part, I agree. I think we are definitely going to have more losers than winners. I think that's the nature of this. I don't know that it calms down in the next year. I don't think that this new reality is clear enough yet, simply because we don't have rules. We don't have the landscape isn't set. It's all still too new. So whatever we have to do around collective bargaining and NIL and the rights and the money and the this and then how the portal is actually going to play. I mean, there's just too much that we don't have settled. And so I don't think any of this settles down. If anything, it probably is even more confusing as more and more guys get used to it and are able to work it both, you know, work it more seasons, work it in season. And
I think that's going to be the surprise. Lawsuit right now on challenging the portal windows.
Yes.
So literally you can transfer whenever you want. Yeah.
All right. Kate Wall is next.
Oh, okay.
If Malik Hall was somehow in the transfer portal and eligible for another year after having his exact career, but at another power conference school, you all would be ecstatic to land him. Discuss.
Kate, here's the thing. I want to be very clear that if this was the Twitter question competition, you would be awarded several NF Tucks for which we all agreed was a good thing based upon the description earlier.
Right.
After you gave us your crypto wallet username and password, we'd be able to deposit those for your insistence on sticking to the bit and innovating around it.
Fully committed to this, and you should be ashamed. You know
what, Kate, you're right. We would be very happy to land someone like Malik Hall out of the portal, but our assumptions about what he would be doing at Michigan State next year would be very different.
Correct.
Because the fact of the matter is that as it's constructed now, we all assume that Xavier Booker is going to be playing a ton of minutes at the four, propelling himself to a professional, hopefully successful career. And so when you grab someone like Malik Hall, it's someone who can keep Xavier Booker honest and provide a different skill set than Xavier Booker. But I don't disagree with the premise that we would be thrilled to recruit a Malik Hall. The problem is that Malik Hall was here. And so you wouldn't have that person coming in. Malik Hall would assume if he was here another year that he's going to be the guy, right, Plum? Mm-hmm. Like, he wouldn't be taking a back seat to Booker next year.
Well, that's the point. And I think we need to see development in our roster. We've seen everything we can with Malik Hall. Malik Hall is not a national championship winning player. He does not have anything near the consistency of this. And we saw
as a
this
transfer,
season.
He might be as a at transfer
somewhere
support
if he could
piece.
Join a program, but the way that we needed him to be this season. Yeah. Beautiful highs, unredeemable lows, and you've got to create space now for the next generation. So I'm glad that he's graduated and moved on. And that's
and true Spartan. True Spartan.
Forever and always.
Got us to the tournament this year. Like
it, yes.
Malik
yeah,
Hall,
no, he did. Yep.
Kate, no. You and Sarah, I've issued my apology to you, Sarah, and Malik. I would be interested in him as a supporting role, but Malik Hall couldn't have been a supporting role. Next up, Plum, Elon Bloom. In your opinion, what is the most essential thing Coach Smith can do to pursue a Big Ten title at Michigan State?
Hire the right guys. I think it's ultimately about culture.
Yeah.
But I think you set culture. There's a number of ways of setting culture, right? So one is you're a human and not an automaton who just says things like keep chopping
and steals money from his wife.
Masturbates on phone calls. If you cannot do that, which we just could agree is the basic minimum of a human being, then that's one thing. Accountability is another. So obviously, Mel Tucker's coaches, the whole coaching staff knew that this guy was an absolute, that there was nothing there. And he didn't have a choice but to keep them around because he didn't know what he was doing either.
Yeah.
Or they had the dirt. One of the two. Nothing else makes sense. So bringing in the right coaching staff, developing the players, holding coaches accountable for their position groups, firing them when they can't perform, promoting the ones who can, establishes a culture that players themselves will also be promoted, celebrated when they perform, and held accountable when they can't. And that will include some effective and judicious use of the transfer portal, by the way, to move guys in and out as you need to. This is the game now. This is what we have. We should expect our coaches to be managing the system. I want to be able to decry it. I want to be able to complain and boo-hoo that this isn't right. What I remember and that this there's no more glory days. But if we're aiming to win a national title.
Which, why would you have a program unless that's what you're doing?
And this kind of money that we're spending on it, like this is right. More than just we're happy for a Saturday afternoon. This isn't Illinois, folks.
Right.
So anyway, that's my take.
Yeah. And I'll just say that the low ego, high output mantra that he has, I think that is the way. Like, recruit kids who subscribe to that philosophy.
Yep.
You know, you'll have to pay kids because that's the world. But if you got kids who subscribe to that philosophy, then they will understand how that money is earned.
Yep.
And so, I hate to say it, but the school down the road seems to have figured out a way to compile gangbusters NIL around a culture that was about loyalty, shared work, and hard work.
Oh, yeah. And they did it around Jim Harbaugh.
Whose
anti-personality is I don't know what to do with it. The fact that Michigan just won another national title makes me just physically die.
Yeah.
God help us.
All
right. Ryan Schultz,
yeah.
For you, Mr. Jones, is next year's hoops team competing for a Big Ten title something we should expect will happen or just hope will happen?
Yeah, I think this Ryan's question comes from something Graham said on his podcast about that next year for MSU basketball, you might be better placed in not having expectations, but instead having hope. And I'll say this. My experience with MSU football has always been one of hope. And, you know, I think Greg has had a wildly different experience, but even during peak D'Antonio, when I knew we were good, I still felt like we were on the razor's edge. Like I couldn't trust it. MSU basketball, however, I have expectations.
Yes, it's not hope. It's something different.
The hope is when my expectations have failed me and us that I hope that we can see magic again out of Tom. But my expectation is not changing. And I do think I understand why Graham might be talking about his, you know, your mental sanity as a fan.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is that the only person who's accountable for these expectations is Tom Izzo.
Yep.
And
yes.
And if he wants to say he's going to die trying, and that quote is aging like buttermilk in the sun, not regular buttermilk in the sun.
Yep.
This is on him. And you know what? I think it is perfectly fine. I think it's good to have expectations. You have expectations of everyone else in your life. You have expectations of yourself. And these programs don't exist at these levels, but for us as fans.
Yeah.
Like if we didn't spend the time and the money and the energy on Michigan State, its brand is worth what?
Yep.
Right? Like, so I don't think expectations are a bad thing. Will we live up to it? I don't fucking know. But don't lose. I guess my point is don't lose your expectations.
Yeah.
That maintain, because that's how, if the next coach after Izzo doesn't work out, then you can keep demanding excellence because you have expectations, not hope.
Yep.
Next up, Upper Deck Jerk Guy, are NIL funds more important than recruiting now?
I don't know if they're more important. They're as important, to be sure. Yeah.
I think your comment about culture earlier is it like what makes recruiting just as important.
Yeah, well, and more to the point, players have got to see. Like, you're not going to recruit a quarterback if you've got a four-star in the position. Like, you're not going to recruit, you know what I mean? Like, the you could have all the money in the world. A guy's probably not going to take it if he's not going to get playing time if his goal is to make the league, right? So it's a little of both. I mean, guys have got to be able to see themselves reflected. The money is a necessary piece of the equation, to be sure. We just know that. Next up from the UDJ, what other Spartan podcast is the worst of them?
I don't know how to answer this question because
You want to offend everyone. It's got to be, it's all of them, isn't it? Together.
Well, yeah, it's when you stack us all up and play us all at 2x speed. That's when it really is. Look, we obviously hate Graham and we obviously hate Sheehan on the podcast. Uh-huh. So it's
one of the two of them.
Yeah, that's... You can read between the lines. That's who we hate.
Hurtful.
Plum, can you explain the Heisenberg uncertainty principle and how it could apply to basketball? Are you familiar with this principle?
Shit. It's physics, isn't it? Something about
It's particles. The idea that there are two mathematic certainties that are incompatible with each other.
Yeah.
So the idea that...
You can't know where the particle is... If it's gone, if you know where it is, then it couldn't be where it was. I can't remember how you say it. It's something like that, isn't it?
The idea is that the closer you get to something,
uh-huh,
the less you're able to tell its momentum or trajectory. Oh. I think what he's getting at as it relates to basketball is that we're so close to Michigan State,
uh-huh,
that we're not able to tell its momentum. So the idea is that, that, you know, if you're farther away from a particle, you're better able to tell its momentum,
uh-huh,
right? Because you could literally watch it and track its speed, but the closer you get, the harder it is to discern.
Oh, that. It's a true question of perspective. It's not even like a...
I think that's what he's getting at here, okay, as it relates to how the Heisenberg uncertainty principle would apply to basketball.
Yeah. Yep.
That at least that's the only analogy I could come up with.
Very good.
Is that we're maybe so close to Michigan State that we're miserable all the time because we can't tell its trajectory.
Sure. Yep.
But again, that's Tom's fault. I will take no accountability for my happiness.
More to the point. Very well. Next up, the Keith Ski solution for college football. Players commit for 2 years out of high school. If the player chooses to leave, either they sit out or the team they move to buys them out from the original school. This gives room for a second contract with some consistency of roster. Poke holes in this idea.
Yeah, Keetski, I got some bad news for you. For that to work, everyone needs to agree by those rules.
Mm-hmm.
And for everybody to agree by those rules, not just players, but the schools,
yep,
means that you've created an anti-competitive cohort. You've colluded to stifle the market in some way, shape, or form. And you might say, well, they collectively bargained. That's not how this works, because each of these places would be institutions in their own right, and someone has to be a primary mover in all of this.
Hmm.
So the reality is that that is anti-competitive behavior. Hmm. And it is an antitrust violation, and it's the best proposals that I've seen on how to quote unquote fix college sports all involve at some level an antitrust exemption for the NCAA and its member institutions. And that, you know, the NCAA asking for an antitrust exemption earlier, before all of this chaos, was laughable,
mm-hmm,
because that was them trying to get out of changing the status quo.
Right,
we're foregone from that. So far gone from that at this point in time that it is. If the NCAA wants to participate in a meaningful conversation about revenue sharing, contracts, buyout clauses, like I think all of that is great, and to execute it well. To keep third-party money out of the mix.
Yep.
Because that's the thing, right? Like, you need to prevent... you couldn't lure Kenneth Walker away from Seattle to the Lions by having Matt Ishbia chip in money for a UWM deal. To, like, that would violate the rules of the NFL. There's nothing that indicates that in college football that sort of situation will exist, because they don't have the cadre together. So they need something, but they also need to come in good faith. So your idea, unfortunately, just does not work under the existing laws. It's illegal what you're proposing.
Change the law, Keith. Run for Congress.
Next up, Verbose Dutch. Plum, do you think some indifference is setting in for college football and college basketball fans? Game costs, fluid rosters, realignment, and morphing into minor league professional sports seems to be diminishing enthusiasm.
Well, it sounds like it certainly is for you, Verbose. I think it has for me to some extent.
Do you think a coaching change in football has impacted that, and getting a coach who seems to be not bells and whistles has impacted that?
I think a reasoned answer to that is we don't know what we have yet. We haven't seen it.
Right. I guess that's what I mean. Like, if we fast forward to the fall, or we're on the eve of kickoff for college football, right? Like, do you think you're still diminished? I've asked myself this question, and so that's why I'm... Verbose has a good point.
I think it is a good point. I mean, I think there's a lot of contextual factors. I think the coach can do a thing. I think getting more roster constancy is a thing. Mm-hmm. I think being able to talk about more what this means to be a Spartan. I mean, I'll tell you, it's not easy to watch football games. It's not easy to watch TV. Like, a three-and-a-half, four-hour games on Saturdays is not fun. You break up your day, you want to be able to watch a few games or a couple games or whatever, and like having to tie into 4 hours of something, like, it's gotta be, I mean, you know, you're at a party or something, that's easy, you've got folks to talk to. If you're just on the couch with a beer, it's like, God, I've had 9 of these and this game still isn't done, like, what's going on? I don't know. So there's a lot.
Describing my ideal Saturday right now.
I know you are. I know. Talking about. I know. But it's still, it's like, all of this will lead to, like, I don't know what. I mean, if you're not going to cut behavior. I mean, for a lot of people, I think the bigger issue is going to be we're going to fail to convert generations of graduates over the coming decade into the kind of diehard absurds that we are, because they won't have graduated. They won't have gone 4 years with players like you can talk. I can tell you who graduated with us on the basketball team. Like, there's a reason Drew Neitzel will always be my favorite point guard for this team. I know that that's absurd. I don't give a fuck because I love Drew Neitzel. Like, that's just always going to be what it is.
The way I feel about Drew Stanton.
It's the same thing. These things are just, they're fixed, they're immobile, and they're tied to as much of our love for alma mater as anything else. So you're going to lose that. And if you can anchor yourself to the coach, like we've had the luck to do with Izzo and many people did with D'Antonio, if you have your luck to anchor to that person, that could provide something. But, you know, I think with enough of these changes, it's, I don't know. I think you struggle with that. So one could see how that will happen. It's a good question. Very good question. And last up for Verbose Dutch, if so, is it possible more people follow non-rev sports to still connect with their schools?
Oh, I think this is all lumped. I think it was bundled in the same question. I forgot to.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you think about that? Do you think there's a draw there for people who didn't play that non-rev sport?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to be mean.
No, I don't think there's a meanness about it. I don't. Why would you start? Soccer, I guess. I'm trying to think what I would want to follow.
It would almost certainly have to mirror the viewing patterns of the rest of the. I mean, that's college football is more popular than college basketball because the NFL is more popular than the NBA. Like,
right. That's just it.
And no one watches baseball, so that's why. No one watches baseball. That is flooded all the time. Like, you know, and swim and dive, at best, you care about it every 4 years, which is why we currently have a parking lot for a swimming pool. Like, I just, you know, But
so true.
That is not to say, though, that I can't help but feel like our increasing in at least mentioning and trying to borderline cover some of these non-rev sports as a podcast,
yeah,
is tied to our desire to reclaim some something more pure,
yeah,
about connection to alma mater. Next up, Thomas Zambiasi. What's your favorite type of off-season Twitter question? This feels like a man who's trying to gain an upper hand in the Twitter question competition, Alex Plum.
You know, I struggle with this. I always appreciate questions which are on the subject of Michigan State sports, to wit, our existence. But my God, I love a just absolutely foul-mouthed tirade on some inane thing of the day. So we didn't tell you this, folks, but every week we'll be drawing a name out of a hat. Mm-hmm. And whichever person's birthday is the closest to that random name, it could just be any human being's name.
Today is my father's birthday, so let's...
Oh!
To Cliff.
I don't have anything, I'm sorry. But to Cliff, in my heart of hearts, he knows I love him.
I'll do two for you.
Thank you. Anyway, that's how we'll be doing that. And so that's who's going to be the guest judge for the week. And then, you know, it's really just a question of, is your question going to tickle their fancy? Because what I find to be inane, Kevin finds to be morose. So you really just, you know.
I do think you can't go, asking a quality sports question does not hurt you. Right.
Yep. Yeah.
But it's that extra tickle that varies.
It's the tickle
from podcast to podcast.
Last up from old Tommy boy, what's the better vibe? Spartan Stadium first game of the year or a Tigers game on a beautiful day?
It's Spartan Stadium.
Yeah, it's not even a question,
like,
I think.
It's not even close for me. And I know I don't live there, but even when I did live there, yep. Not close.
Yep. Yep.
Next up, I Bleed MSU asks Plum, is Drake dead?
Rap lyric, I guess. I've not been following this like the youths have. I've come to understand through a pre-production
meeting
in a conversation with you.
There's
a whiteboard. There was lines. It was very, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Drake and Kendrick Lamar are in a rap battle, or have been for some time. I don't know how long. I don't really care. Dropping diss tracks about each other. And I guess Drake is the most recently to come out with a track where he, in trying to deny a rap allegation that Kendrick Lamar made about him being a child predator, sort of denied it. But then sort of like, don't do that if there's nothing to deny. What? You know, so it's very like, oh God. So I think that's where we're at. And, you know, he's sort of has R. Kelly'd himself into a weird corner, which may portend something bad for him. I don't know.
It is fantastic drama, though. I will say that.
So good. For people who care.
Hopefully, through all of this, there weren't actually a lot of real women who were meaningfully hurt, we're just ignoring all of that.
Well, and I think that's just it. I'm starting from the baseline that there's nothing there for any of this, but that's just like what people do.
This is good theater.
It's good because I just say the worst things to my closest friends just because I like shock value. So like, I would never
believe the things Alex has said to me. All right, next up, Cedar Village Bagel. Plum, given the media coverage surrounding Tom Brady, who would you like to see roasted most from MSU past or present? An icon like Tom Izzo or Kirk Cousins? An asshole like Luana or Tucker? Sound off. Did you see any of the clips?
I have not. What happened?
So there was a roast of Tom Brady on Netflix.
Oh.
There were some really great moments in roast sort of tradition. Jerry Seinfeld is very confused as to how some of these things could have happened because there were some jokes told that were not okay from a PC perspective, but like, as Jerry would point out, if it's funny, it's funny. Like, you know,
wait, was he like
land the plane? If you can land the plane, you landed the plane, right?
Was he like pearl clutching on this?
Oh, no, Jerry Seinfeld said recently that, like, you can't make a sitcom now because it would be canceled by sort of cancel culture.
Sure.
Notwithstanding, like, you can... It's Always Sunny, I think, is still on the air.
Correct, yeah.
They did blackfaced in their first episode.
Like, right, you know, right. Yeah, some problems, but yeah. No, to my thinking, I think this is a... I think I like to see roasts of people who are generally liked. There's a specific
celebration.
It's a celebration. I mean, that's the gag. Like, what, my wedding, my brother and sister roasted me as part of the speech. I mean, that was like,
that was before, like, it was after the MGMT.
Okay.
Before the MGMT.
Okay.
I'm actually trying to remember which was first.
It was before okay. The MGMT. Damn you. At any rate. So I think that's the gap. I mean, I think that's what's nice about a roast is you like the person that you're roasting. If I had to watch a roast of Ann Coulter, which, by the way, whenever Ann Coulter is on any of those roasts and they just go to roast her anyway, it is deeply satisfying jokes, but also like it's uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable, but it's broken by the fact that we can go back to, you know, like you can only call Ann Coulter a horse face so many times without being able to go back to that real target. And it's like, oh, thank God he's laid off of her. You know, it's like a full night of that. Ugh, I just couldn't put up with it.
Also, I do think there's something about the roastee should be a well-rounded human being who has a sense right. of humor about themselves
right.
and is prepared for
what's coming.
They are indeed human, and all humans are complicated and flawed. Right.
Right. Yeah. And it just happens to be the night where we're going to call out some of their flaws.
But
yeah,
like, right. A good roastee is someone who's
knows it,
who's strong good with that, right? Good, like
strong to take it. All
so
right.
So anyway, the answer is not Luana.
No,
right? Like
no,
because she's not worthy of celebration.
She's not worthy of celebration, and I don't. But remember, part of this is a redemptive piece too. For some people, you do a roast to kind of get them back in to the limelight.
Trump.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of things that it can have a redemptive effect. And this is not to say Luana is not worthy of redemption. This isn't to say that Mel Tucker isn't worthy of redemption. Every human is worthy of redemption. I don't know that it's the school's job or our job as fans to be doing the redemption work. That's their own journey. From the public persona perspective, I think it's one person that you already love and respect. I think that's
And
why.
So the answer is Drew Stanton, just to be clear.
Next up, from Mystic Dan Hellpepper, they call him. Michael, bent or flat brim baseball hats? What's the approximate cutoff where if you're younger, you're flat, or older, bent?
Dan, I guess I've always been old. I've always bent my cap.
Same. I think I would look like an idiot with it flat. But who's the guy that does the stupid show with like the people like falling off of their skateboards and like chipping their teeth on things? It's on MTV. It always came on after Drag Race. He's like some white guy that dresses like a skater, and he always wears the flat brim hat, and he's definitely in his 40s. And I look at him and I just think,
I think he might be older than that now.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my guy. Little guy, you're not 20 anymore, little guy. You're an old man. Just take the hat off.
Because he's older now.
Yeah.
There's fading.
Poor guy. Anyway, I don't know what the show's called. So,
yeah, what is that? It's going to bug me that I can't think of it.
Yeah.
Next up, Dan Hellpepper, which is more embarrassing, that U of M tried to pretend their admission standards were so high they couldn't take transfers from like North Carolina, or that they have now abruptly quit pretending anything of the sort so Dusty May can have someone to coach?
I think it's embarrassing that they cheated around a sign stealing scheme and faced absolutely zero consequence for it. We still don't know what the fuck happened at Central or with Central at Spartan Stadium. And And they won a national championship, and everyone is just like, la, 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 la. So I don't know. Why are we surprised by admission standards mattering at one point and now mattering and not mattering again? The school doesn't have any. There's just no standard. But don't worry, they're the leaders and the best, and God knows everyone else will be held to some standard because they do things the right way. Brr. Horrible. Pepe Plum.
Great.
Jones, cruises are the white trash way to vacation. They are awful. My mom gets wasted on them every year. Now you know. My kids had the audacity to ask to go on one. So, anyone else going to Puerto Rico and Aruba next June? We can have a remote pod and I'll invite myself on the pod.
Well, Beppe, you can earn your way into a sponsorship by getting us tickets. Though, this is I gotta be honest, I don't think I will ever go on a cruise.
I don't know if I would either.
There seem like a cesspool of germs.
Yes.
The entirety of what happened during COVID is frightening to me. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly care for bodies of water to begin with.
Oh.
I don't know. It just nothing about it seems. I would rather sit in an Amtrak car going cross country than cooped up in a.
Sure. I can understand
that. Amtrak car, you can literally walk off if you're in an emergent situation.
Yeah. We, Jason and I, as part of our honeymoon, we did a cruise in the Ha Long Bay in Vietnam outside of Hanoi. Mm-hmm. That was smaller, like the stateroom that we had, there was 10 of them maybe on the entire boat. This was not a ship, right? This was a boat. So that was kind of fun, but I'll tell you, it was a little boring too, if I'm being honest. Like, there's only so much that you can do. I think if you have a cruise that has a lot of excursions, that would be good. But you're like, they pack so many people into those things. I mean, I've never been on one, but I'm just thinking, like, if it's like an all-inclusive, which we were just in one in the DR, you get a little bored of it. I mean, I get bored of the all-inclusives. Like, there's only so much alcohol I want to drink before noon. Right. And then I'm like, well, I just did this yesterday and the day before. Like, I don't want to take another nap again for 2 hours in the afternoon because I've had three Mai Tai. Like, I like this. This is nice. I don't want to go back to work, but I don't want to keep doing this. So I feel like there'd be some of that on a cruise too. Only you're stuck with people who are getting up at 6 a.m. to go put towels on chairs. You know what I mean? There's just a lot there that I find yucky. So
yeah, in some ways, Vegas feels preferable, and I don't love Vegas.
I just don't want to be cooped in a place. I think
that's it. Next up from Beppe Plum, rant of the week: the Tennessee legal system. Just know they do not protect children. The same judge has enabled the abusers of my students and my son. I have zero faith in the state. At least Horst is supposed to be a Horst.
I wonder if in Tennessee, if judges are elected like they are here in Michigan.
And Pennsylvania.
So my guess is they probably are. I would say, Beppe, you could take your frustration, your rant, as it were, for this week, and you could channel it into getting this judge primaried.
Running yourself for judge, because if it's elected, there's zero qualifications that are required.
Zero qualifications. And it's Tennessee. It's not like they've got qualifications for anything anyway. Fuck. Mm-hmm. So go for it.
This
go
is
for
a valid
it,
point.
Mr. Neurotic Pants. Hey, Raymond. Michael, could you guys have Jason Nick on the show sometime? His appearance on Locked On Spartans was a lot of fun. Celebrities are so much better than real people.
We've mentioned, at least in passing, speaking of Twitter question competition, that Jason has to read all of those Twitter questions for Graham, and that it feels like he should feel empowered to come on and talk shit about you all.
Correct.
And judge,
yes,
it would be delightful. It would be absolutely delightful. It would have to be for the Twitter competition, though.
Yes.
Because I'd like to see him take the gloves off when you all ask a question that Winston Momopolyf Award for Excellence, we'll say. next up from Mr. Neurotic Pants, Nope, this one's got canceled because Kevin is not with us because he's in the transfer portal. Next up from Mr. Nerdy Pants Plum. Okay, instead of just being a weird sumbitch, I also have an MSU sports-related question for the MSU sports-related podcast. MSU baseball has slowly clawed its way back to below 500 overall, to just below 500 overall, and is, in fact, as of this email, 8-8 in the conference. Mm. Last weekend, the team took the series with Ohio State. Earlier last night, they won on a walk-off against those disgusting Maize and Blue tramps. Mm-hmm. Jonesy Plum, Grooch, what would constitute a salvaged season?
More home
Make
runs.
The Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know. How many teams did they take in the Big Ten tournament?
Boss hasn't been in a minute, so I'll say that.
Noted.
Let's see.
Okay, then that's a great metric. Make the tournament. Stop losing, you idiots. Justify that brand new baseball stadium we bought or purchased or built.
That's
or something.
In a floodplain?
Well, of course it is, because we lose. And if they start winning, they'll start raising it up. They can inject sand and aggregate underneath the grass, and it just slowly.
I guess he was in it last year.
Well, 2 years in a row then. That's a trend we want to see sustained.
Yeah.
All right. Last up, two questions from our favorite Momopoly. Susan asks Michael, those of you not on the coast might have heard of the Michigan-themed movie just released about Pop-Tarts. So, what's your pleasure? Cherry, blueberry, strawberry, or brown sugar cinnamon? And toasted or untoasted?
It is brown sugar cinnamon is my preference. And certainly prefer toasted, but like I'll take it either way.
Wow. I am a cherry. I'm a frosted cherry, untoasted. They get too piping hot in the middle, and then it hurts too much for me to enjoy the simple flavor.
You got to do it. You got to do it on the lowest setting. Just a quick little.
Maybe I've been doing it wrong. I will say Costco had just had a 2-pack of strawberry maple brown sugar or cinnamon brown sugar, like for sale at our Costco. And it took every ounce of strength not to buy those.
We'll get it and we'll split it.
It's not cherry.
No, actually, I don't.
If it was cherry and cinnamon brown sugar, I would have bought it. I
need that
bought
in
it.
My diet, though.
No one needs it in their diet. That's why it's a wonderful, beautiful thing.
I've found some real treasures at Costco recently, by the way, that are like pretty healthy.
Jason told me we can't shop there anymore because we're supposed to be saving money, and that's why we shop at Costco, because we get things in bulk, we freeze them, but we always are like, ooh, a screen door that when you close the screen door or open the screen door, it like curls up on itself so that it's just a door frame, and then you close it, it's perfect for our screened in porch. I mean, it's like, yeah, we don't need that, but yes, we do every time we go.
You can't. You got to treat yourself to the aisle shopping.
Uh huh.
You got to set a date for like every 2 months. Yep. I will do a Costco
a weird thing.
Shop.
Uh huh.
But otherwise, I'm going for
just the essentials.
These things, and I'm going to let them catch me on like a thing in the aisle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like otherwise,
it's a struggle. We're losing money.
I'm with you.
He's like, we have to go back to Aldi. I don't want to have to go back to Aldi.
No. And I would definitely go to the food, get your food first at Costco and then go shop. Go not hungry.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. Last up from Momopoly, Plum, Mother's Day is soon upon us. So if you were to treat your mom to an MSU sporting event this year, what sport would you choose and against which opponent?
Oh, I would take her to a women's basketball game. I think that she would enjoy that. Honestly, actually, she would enjoy hockey. My mom would enjoy hockey, I think. I would take my dad and my aunt and uncle with us because they would have a rousing good time. And it would be when we played Quinnipiac. Quinnipiac, is that how you say that? I don't know if we even play Quinnipiac. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good at hockey.
They're good at hockey, and so it would be a great way for us to win and celebrate the win. Or Minnesota. One of the two.
All right. With that, it's a wrap on another Can't Read, Can't Write. The podcast that proves we don't need Kevin Grech. and Alex, the portal out season is done. So we can get back on a positive note. And with that, I say a resounding and enthusiastic, go green.
Go Gwite.
Go Gwite?